Vayomer Adonai el Avram Lech lecha me artzecha umimoladetecha umibeis avicha el haaretz asher areka. Hashem said to Avram, go for yourself from your land, from your relatives, and from your father's house to the land that I will show you. OU Israel presents
Come in. Welcome.
Shalom and welcome to another issue of Torah Tidbits Audio. I'm your host, Phil Chernovsky, and this show is for Parshat Lech Lecha. Recording and first broadcast, Yom Chamishi, Thursday, the sixth day of Mar Cheshvan, 5775, corresponding this year to October 30th. We will talk about the opening music while I indulge myself and pamper some of the listeners and probably antagonize a whole bunch more, but in a light-hearted, I hope, way. But first, Psalm 130, Tehillim Kuf Lamed. Shir hama'alot mima'amakim karaticha Adonai. Adonai shima v'koli tihyena oznecha kashuvot l'kol tachanunai. Im avonot tishmor yah Adonai mi ya'amod, ki imacha hasalicha lema'an tivarei, ki viti Adonai kivata nafshi v'lidvaro hochalti, nafshi l'Adonai mi shomerim laboker, shomerim laboker, yachel Yisrael el Adonai ki im Adonai hachesed v'harbe imo fedut, v'hu yifde et Yisrael mikol avonotav. Achenu kol beit Yisrael, hanatunim batzara uvashivya, haomedim bein bayam uvein bayabasha, hamakom yirachem aleihem, viyotziyem mitzara lirvacha, umeafela l'ora, umishibud l'geula, hashta ba'agala uvizman kariv, vinomar amen. As regular listeners to Torah Tidbits Audio, or readers of Torah Tidbits, probably have figured out, I am a baseball fan, specifically a San Francisco Giants baseball fan, and the Giants, after a protracted postseason, succeeded in winning the wild card position in a one-game victory over Pittsburgh Pirates, proceeded to beat the Washington Nationals in the divisional series, proceeded to beat the St. Louis Cardinals for the National League pennant, and as of Israel time, about 6 o'clock this morning, won the World Series against the Kansas City Royals. Now, I had an elation when I listened to the game, which I do on the internet. I don't watch it. I find myself able to half sleep and half listen, but watching is too time consuming. I mean, too whatever, takes you over. I could work while I listen. It also reminds me of my childhood when I did a lot of listening to baseball games on transistor radios, which sort of had just come out at the time. And I've been listening to many of the games during the regular season, listened to all the post-season games, of course not the ones on Friday night or Shabbat, and because of the timing in the States, be it in San Francisco or Kansas City or elsewhere, Washington, etc., games end up being in the wee hours of our night here in Israel. And last night I happened to have fallen asleep well before the game started, the final and seventh game of the World Series. I woke up, must have been about 4:30 in the morning. Immediately checked the score. The Giants were ahead 3-2, which ended up being the final score, but I listened to a nice five innings of the game, and it was a nail-biter at certain points, and the Giants won. Besides being happy that the Giants won, I had two other smaller feelings, one a good one and one not so good. At 6:30, my grandson Devere, my eldest grandson, and a quite serious Giants fan, even though he's never seen them play, except on the internet, called me to congratulate ourselves on the Giants' victory. That was good. And then, of course, was the realization that I mixed the publication date for Torah Tidbits, and that was, you know, too bad. Last week, Torah Tidbits, not Lech Lecha this week, but the previous week, Parshat Noach, I had a color theme of orange and black in honor of the Giants having won the pennant. And the reason that I didn't do orange and black this year, and this week instead, was because tomorrow is October 31st, and orange and black means different things other than the Giants to many people who come from the States, and I did not want to have that association between Torah Tidbits and the non-Jewish holiday of October 31st. So I had my orange and black last year, and I couldn't even write anything about the Giants winning, although I did have one cryptic comment that they defeated Kansas City, and I was hoping that it would be true. And I'll explain it in this week's Torah Tidbits, etc. But then I realized that the Giants' victory was before my recording of Torah Tidbits audio, so I can get the scoop on it. For us here in Israel, or for anybody, this is, 8 hours since the Giants won, so it's kind of fresh. And I started with a little instrumental piece from I Left My Heart in San Francisco. It didn't come out that way because this year, again, the Giants won the World Series out of town. But throughout the baseball season, whenever the Giants win a home game, they play Tony Bennett's I Left My Heart in San Francisco as the people are leaving the ballpark, and I decided to start with that. With that said, we will move on to other topics and more serious topics. The people I was anticipating antagonizing a little were baseball fans who don't root for the Giants, and people who don't root for baseball at all. The only people who would probably have enjoyed the last 3, 4, 5 minutes that I've been talking are the people who are Giants fans, or at least sympathetic to the Giants. And that's the story. On a much more serious note, we've had bouts of violence in Yerushalayim and elsewhere in Israel this week and last. And the most recent was the shooting near the Begin Center in Yerushalayim of a fellow who I happened to know and spoke to just recently. I was in Otniel at my children's for Shabbat Chol HaMoed Sukkot, and this fellow lives there, and we davened together, and we spoke a little to each other. Don't know him that well, but there was a tragedy, and he's in serious condition. And we hope and pray for a refuah shlema for Yehuda Glick. Okay, I think we'll proceed now to Parshat HaShavua and the calendar, which has a significance for us in Israel and ramifications elsewhere as well. I discussed some of this last week, but let's put it into perspective of today. According to the Mishnah in Masechet Ta'anit, it is on the 7th of Mar Cheshvan that we start asking for rainfall in the weekday Amidah, in the bracha called Borech Oleinu, with the words V'tein Tal Umatar Livracha. Israel follows that Mishnah, and we here in Israel will begin this evening at Arvit Ma'ariv to insert the words Tal Umatar into our Amidah, as I said, on the weekdays. It's a petition to God for a bountiful year, a good year agriculturally and otherwise, and an integral part of that prayer is the asking for beneficial rainfall with the words V'tein Tal Umatar Livracha. On the other hand, Eidot Mizrach, Sfaradim, do not just insert two words. They have a much, much longer bracha. Instead of Borachenu, which they've been saying throughout the summer from Pesach till now, they switch to a long version of Borech Aleinu, which of course asks for Tal Umatar Livracha, but is very elaborate on the things that they ask for. And just as an aside, I think it's kind of obvious that the Ashkenazi world was not as dependent upon seasonal rain. And therefore, they went let's call it the short version, of just saying V'tein Tal Umatar Livracha. Sfaradim, on the other hand, I'm talking about those who came from arid Arab lands where many of the Jews owned land and were very acutely aware of their dependence upon rainfall, and therefore did not just say two words, Tal Umatar, give us Tal Umatar Livracha, but, as I said, have an elaborate bracha instead. Bottom line, all Jews in Israel begin asking God for rainfall this evening, Thursday night, October 30th, the eve of the 7th of Mar Cheshvan. If you take a careful look in your Siddur, or you remember from year to year, Jews outside of Israel begin asking for rainfall on December 4th or 5th. Depends on when the next leap year is, but this year it comes out to be Ma'ariv on December 4th, December 4th being also a Thursday, corresponding to, well, December 4th, but happens to be the eve of the 13th of Kislev, but that's not relevant because it follows the secular calendar, since it's a seasonal thing, and therefore it follows the solar calendar, and roughly it was to be 2 months, 60 days after Tikufat Tishrei, which is the autumnal equinox, the beginning of fall. There was an adjustment to the calendar back in the 1700s in many countries that switched from the Julian calendar to the Gregorian calendar, and that necessitated an adjustment of 11 days, which were removed from the calendar, making 60 days after Tikufat Tishrei the beginning of December. And each century, except for after 2000, the date advances by a day. So a couple of hundred years ago, it was December 2nd or 3rd, and then it became December 3rd or 4th, and then it became December 4th or 5th. And after 2100, in the secular calendar, it would be December 6th or 7th, and we'll worry about that when that comes around. The general question, then, is why do Jews in Israel ask for rainfall earlier than Jews in Chutz La'aretz, in the diaspora? Now, this has to do with the origin, or the point of origin, of the petition for rainfall, where Chutz La'aretz was centered in Babel and in the Babylonian Jewish community. They followed the statement in the Mishnah that says, "Ein shoalina tegishamim ela samuch legishamim." You don't ask for rain until the rainy season, and the rainy season in Babel started later than it did in Eretz Yisrael. So the irony of the whole thing is that we in Israel ask for it sort of at the beginning of the time that we need the rain, and Chutz Laretz can't even join us in a petition for beneficial rain until the beginning of December. So for the next month plus, we're sort of on our own in this regard. There's a lot of other things that go into it, but we're not going to go into that now. Just know that we start asking V'tein Talu Matar Livracha tonight here in Israel. There are questions about students who are spending the year here learning, when they start, the people who visit for a couple of weeks who happen to be here at this period, Israelis who happen to find themselves abroad right now, what do they do, depending on how long they're going to be outside of Israel or not. And there are a lot of interesting peripheral points that come into play, like communities in the Southern Hemisphere where their seasons are reversed of ours, distinction between communities that desperately need rain at certain times and that it should not rain at other times, as opposed to communities where it rains all the time. I think I mentioned this last week, but if not, I'll say it again. And if I'll say it the first time. I still have this memory from when we first came on Aliyah, and my parents had not yet made Aliyah, and my mother came for a visit, and it was in July, and she came into the house wearing a raincoat. So my astute girls asked her how come she was wearing a raincoat, and she said because it was pouring when she was at the airport in New York. And they started to laugh. "Oh, Grandma, you're making a joke. It doesn't rain in July." And they had no experience with rain not in the wintertime. So there is a difference. These are differences that have to be addressed in a halachic framework. But the bottom line is you find out what you're supposed to do when you're supposed to do it, and the rules of if you forget, if you don't forget, if you are not sure whether you forgot, where you're up to in the Amidah. These are complications that make up an entire shiur, which we're not going to go into at this moment. I do want to emphasize the following and understand that we don't have the time when this is not really the format for the details. But there is one detail, which is a very simple detail, which speaks a lot, says a lot. And that is, if one is supposed to be saying, V'tein Talu Matar Livracha, supposed to be asking God for rain, and doesn't, he omits it, then his Amidah, made up of 19 different brachot, is deemed to be invalid, and he must repeat the Amidah. There are details, again, don't worry about it, you'll get them from other sources, about you remembered and you were still in the bracha of Baruch Aleinu, you remembered after that, but you didn't finish Shema Koleinu, you didn't start Ritzeh, after Ritzeh, you didn't take your feature part. I'm saying this now without giving you the answers. Front page of Torah Tidbits, by the way, at ttidbits.com, has a brief review of repeating. But the point is that if you don't ask for rain when you're supposed to, Chazal, our sages, deemed your Amidah completely dead in the water. You're not allowed to continue, and you have to repeat the whole thing. Now, to show you how far it goes, if tomorrow morning someone daven shacharit, and it's not unlikely to forget Talmud Matar because we haven't developed a habit by that point, certainly. And then in the middle of the afternoon, he notices a reminder about Talmud Matar and says, "Oh, wait a minute, I didn't do that this morning. I for sure said V'tein Bracha." He has to correct the Amidah where it's not even shacharit time anymore. It's the middle of the afternoon. And when he davens mincha, he has to say a second Amidah to make up for the Amidah that he missed. But he didn't miss it. He said it. No, he missed it. It's invalid because he didn't say Talu Mater. What makes this even a stronger point and message is that when one does not say V'tein Talu Matar Livracha, one says V'tein Bracha, asking God to give a blessing. If you're asking God to give a blessing, so what's the big fuss that you have to repeat the entire Amidah and that 19 blessings are invalidated? Because our sages could have gone the other way. They could have said, you know what, if you forget, it's okay. Remember next time, be more careful, pay attention, look in the sitter, and don't leave it out. But it's not the end of the world because you said V'tein Bracha, give a blessing. The answer is that, all right, it's not the end of the world, but it is considered to be a defect in one's prayer when it is that period of the year when we ask for rain, be it in Israel from tonight or in Chutz La'aretz from the 4th of December. If you don't do it, you're not carrying your weight properly with the entire Jewish people who daven, and the Amidah is invalid. This was a decision based on by Chazal, our sages, and they could have gone in either direction. They could have said, but they didn't, but they could have said, don't worry about it, you asked for a blessing anyway, next time remember Talu Matar. They chose to invalidate the Amidah, and I believe they are making a point. And their point is, rain is to be taken seriously, and as a corollary to that, or maybe a partner concept to that, God is to be acknowledged as the one who causes the wind to blow and the rain to fall, and that we believe that rather than some people who, yes, I believe in God, that he created the world, but not that he continues to supervise and to run the show. We believe he continues to run the show. And that's beyond belief in God. There are people who say, I believe in God. But, you know, let's not go that far and say that he's the one that that handles the weather. Hold that thought. We'll be right back with more Torah Tidbits audio for Parshat Lech Lecha. You are listening to Torah Tidbits Audio. The music that you just heard at the beginning of this half of the show is the theme from a science fiction TV series that lasted 51 episodes back in the late 60s. I personally do not remember ever seeing it, but it's possible that I did. Called The Land of the Giants. Sort of something out of a modern version of Gulliver's Travels. But and Lost in Space, whatever. But the obvious connection, Land of the Giants, and I won't say more on that. Let me go back now to the first pasuk, the first verse of Parshat Lech Lecha, which I read at the beginning of the show. And I want to make a simple, but I feel very important point. Vayomer Hashem El, God said to, yes, the word in the Torah is Avram. Avram became Avraham, with his name changed at the end of Parshat Lech Lecha, and Avraham is the progenitor of the Jewish people. And it is not a big leap to reread the pasuk saying, Vayomer Hashem El, fill in your own name. Lech lecha me'artzecha umi moladetecha umi beit avicha el ha'aretz asher areka. Leave your homeland and go to the land which I will indicate to you, the land of Israel. This is a message from God to every Jew who does not yet live in Eretz Yisrael. I've said in the past that between Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, we cover three categories or three types of Jews. Yitzchak, born in Israel, lived his entire life in Israel, is the progenitor of, so to speak, the Jew who grew up in Israel and still lives here. And he's not allowed to leave, except for certain halachically permissible things on a temporary basis. Not the point. The point is that it's Yitzchak that addresses the issue of someone born and raised in Israel who lives here. Yaakov Avinu was born in Eretz Yisrael, went to Chutz La'aretz, spent a significant amount of time there, and came back. And that describes other people, other Jews. And Avraham becomes the epitome of the Jew who was born outside of Israel, who grew up outside of Israel for however many years we're talking about, the Jew who has a homeland and a family and relatives in Chutz La'aretz, and he needs to feel and understand that this pasuk in the Torah is commanding him, her, to go forth from your land, from your birthplace, and from your father's home to Eretz Yisrael. Lech Lecha is often referred to here in Israel as Shabbat Aliyah. I am particularly sensitive to this because I am approaching, as I've mentioned in the past, but it's coming up in the next maybe 2-3 months, it'll happen. I am approaching the date, I have to check for sure exactly when it happens, that I will finally be living in Israel, in Yirtz Hashem, B'Shah Tova, more than I lived in Chutz La'aretz. I remember when I was here for 13 years, sort of celebrating that I was living in Israel longer than I had lived in Queens, New York, between Forest Hills and Kew Gardens Hills, two different apartments there. Then when I hit 20 years here, I celebrated the feeling of thanks to God that I have now lived in Israel longer than I had lived in Brooklyn, where I was born and grew up. And I am still not yet at that point, although it's coming soon, where I will have been here longer than Brooklyn and Queens, my total amount of time spent in the United States outside of Israel. And it's something that I look forward to celebrating. I don't know how to say this. I've been here 33 years plus, and I have not had a boring day in all of that time. I have not had a day that isn't in some way, small or large, a day of expressing thanks to God that I made this decision. I was helped by my parents and with heaven's help to make Aliyah, to have a successful Aliyah, to have served in the army, to have raised children here, two of which came with us, and the youngest was born here, and to watch them grow up and help them grow up and to marry and to have children of their own. I have another milestone coming up at the beginning of December, Yirtz Hashem B'Shah Tova, and this is, you know, my thing because I like numbers. But sometime in early evening of December 1st, the Mirtz Hashem, I will be equal in age to the sum total of my 10 grandchildren. Nachon la'achshav. So I look forward to that also. These are personal milestones to go along with the many communal milestones that there are. I mean, this is the meaning of Shehachiyanu, and Chagim do this, and other events during a person's year and during a person's lifetime, to not take things for granted, but to say, thank you, God, and thank whoever else needs to be thanked for my being here. I have very close friends who are coming in Aliyah, people same age as me, as I, who are coming in Aliyah this coming month, and I've got 33 years on them, and it's 33 years that I wouldn't want to trade. I made my own decision to stay in the States for a period of time before I came in Aliyah, and I don't need to look back and have second thoughts. Should I have come sooner? Should I have come later? Baruch Hashem, I'm here, and Baruch Hashem, my children have adapted very well and are raising families here, and we're all here, and I have cousins that are here, and I have many cousins that are not here. So Lech Lecha to me is a message to all the Jews of the diaspora, wherever they live, that when they listen to the Torah being read this Shabbat, it should echo in their ears to replace their name for Avram, for Sarai, who became Avraham and Sarah, and to accept the notion with joy that the Torah is speaking to them. There's a Dvar Torah that I heard from Rabbi Zev Leff a long time ago, and he's not the only one that says these things. It's an observation that is made by commentaries, very significant in my opinion, and I would like to share it now, even though it belongs towards the end, because I don't know how much time I'm going to be spending on other topics in Lech Lecha, and if I'll get to this or not. So let me say it now. There are two Lech Lechas in the Torah. One is at the beginning of Parshat Lech Lecha, and then one is towards the end of next week's Torah reading of Vayera. And that's where God appears to Avraham and says, V'lech lecha el Eretz HaMoria, go and take your son, Yitzchak, and bring him as an offering on Har HaMoria. The point that Rabbi Leff was making is that one's challenge in Judaism does not end when one makes Aliyah. It really just begins. So the first challenge of a diaspora Jew, one hopefully who is Shomer Torah and Mitzvot, is the first Lech Lecha. And that means coming to the place which God meant us to be Jews. You could be a Jew anywhere in the world, but Ritzon Hashem, the will of God, is that it be here in Eretz Yisrael. The challenges don't end, they continue, including, in some cases, the ultimate challenge of the willingness to sacrifice for God, for the Torah, for living in Eretz Yisrael. And we are faced with this all the time. So that's the Akedah issue for next week. We'll talk about it then, Mirtz Hashem. But for now, we start Lech Lecha with pick yourself up and go. Who does he take with him? He takes with him his wife Sarai, and his nephew Lot, and many people who he had brought to belief in one God. That's the Nefesh Asher Asu V'Charan. What exactly happened to them, I don't know. But we attribute to Avraham and Sarah the forerunners, or the rediscoverers of belief in one God. Ostensibly, Adam HaRishon believed in the one God who had created him and placed him in Gan Eden. Subsequent generations deteriorated into various forms of polytheism and paganism, and Noach was a lone voice of the belief in one God, not as effective, apparently, as Avraham was 10 generations later, but it still took a lot of work and perfected itself through Yitzchak and then Yaakov and the Shvatim and Bnei Yisrael that came from there. So it's a long, long process. Before we continue, let's listen to a track from a Yonatan Scheinfeld album called Lech Lecha and get into the mood to continue discussing the topic. Nice song, very pleasant song, enjoyable, but I want you to know also that I'm getting choked up from listening to it because of what I said before. you can look at Torah in completely the wrong way. Sit your child or your grandchild on your lap and say, once upon a time, a long time ago, this is what happened to our ancestors. The proper way to look at it, just like we say at the Seder table, is Bechol dor vador chayev adam lirot et atzmo ki'ilu hu yatzam yimitzrayim. And you could extend that, Bechol dor vador, in every generation, we have to not only act and relate as if we left Egypt, but as if we were told by God to come to this land. And that we were told by God that this land is for you and your children ad olam. There's a difference when we look at it as God said to Avraham, the land is for him and his children forever, even though that includes us. The feeling is different when you look at it by saying God says to you, now, this land is yours for you and your children ad olam. And that's part of the Bechol dor vador. You look in Parshat Lech Lecha, things were not easy for Avraham. He had problems with his nephew Lot. Both were successful businessmen, let's say, and there were clashes of ethical values between the shepherds of Lot and the shepherds of Avraham, and Avraham had to reluctantly say, we'll have to part ways, pick where you want to go, and Lot chooses the Sodom area, the then fertile area of the Jordan Plains. Then Lot ends up getting captured in a regional battle between the four kings and the five kings, and Avraham saves him. And the Torah repeatedly reminds us that the Canaanites had not yet lost their hold on Canaan. They still were in the land, and it was going to take some time. And then the problem with Avraham not being able to father a child with Sarah, and Sarah giving her handmaiden Hagar to Avraham to father a child from her, and the friction between Sarah and Hagar, and Yishmael was born. And next week we'll see the negative influence that he had on Yitzchak, and the banishing of Yishmael, and it's a life filled with difficulties. We, thank God, don't have to emulate each and every trial and tribulation that our ancestors went through, but we should be aware of the fact, at least generically, that we have to be able to handle trials and tests of faith and different difficult times that happen to us. And we are bolstered by the fact that been there, did it. We have a rich background of four progenitors and forerunners who went through a lot of different things, and we learn from them. But it's a challenge, and it's a very rewarding challenge. I have less than 2 minutes left for the show, so let me move on to the one mitzvah that occurs in Parshat Lech Lecha, the mitzvah of Brit Milah, and without going into all of the details, to say the following. At a Brit Milah, 8 days old, of a baby boy, there are two brachot for mitzvah that are recited. One, the Mohel recites. It's Al Hamila, Asher Kiddishanu B'Mitzvotav Tzivanu Al Hamila, and he performs the surgical procedure called circumcision, and with all of the halachic details that are involved, he accomplishes it in a matter of seconds. The father, immediately after the Mohel makes the bracha of Al Hamila, makes a second bracha, which is not so simple and not so quickly fulfilled. And that is, L'hachniso bevrito shel Avraham Avinu, blessed are you, God, our God, King of the universe, who has sanctified us with his mitzvot and commanded us to enter the child into the covenant of Abraham. This is a lifelong commitment to raise a proper Jewish family, to not just let Pru Ravu be a baby factory, but to instill values and Torah education and observance of mitzvot into one's children and grandchildren and whatever sphere of influence he has. And this is the legacy of Avraham and the other Avot and Imahot. As usual, there's a lot more to say and not enough time to say it, but that's the way it goes on Torah Tidbits Audio. I hope you also read Torah Tidbits. If you live in Israel, it should be available in hard copy. And if you are outside of Israel, it's at www.ttidbits.com, where you'll find different files that you can download. On that note, I wish you a Shabbat Shalom, Lehishtameah.